We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
May I say, even before I read the scripture, what a glorious time this is to be living. What a wonderful time between the two mountain peaks of history, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the coronation of Jesus Christ. And may I also tell you that my joy today will be full and complete if you can get it written in your heart, indeed, that Jesus is coming, and that you can not only know that He's coming, but anticipate His coming with a deep, deep anticipation. I begin to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That's what I want you to do, and that's what I want you to be. So therefore, taking from this passage of Scripture four truths, I want to lay them upon your heart. There are four basic, wonderful admonitions that are in these verses, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, that I've read to you. Four things I want you to do in the light of the soon coming of our Lord. The very first of these is, I want you to learn of His coming. Now look at verses 1 and 2. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly. Now that's what I want for you. I want you, my dear friend, to know some things perfectly. Completely, for you have no need that I write unto you. Evidently, the Apostle Paul had already instructed these people. They had learned of His coming. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, there are two things that they had learned of His coming. They had learned of the certainty of His coming. They had learned of the uncertainty of the time. And that's the reason He said, of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. What He's saying is, I'm not about to set a date for you. And may I tell you that anybody who sets a date for the second coming of Jesus Christ is approaching, if he's not already crossed over, the line of blasphemy. For the Bible teaches very clearly and very plainly, and our Lord taught it in Matthew chapter 24, that day and that hour knoweth no man. And just before our Lord was taken up into glory, the disciples asked Him this question. They said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said in verse 7, it's not given unto you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. No one knows the day when Jesus Christ is coming again. A while back, a man wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ Will Come, in 1988. When I saw that, I did not need to read the book. My dear friend, that day and that hour knoweth no man. of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus said, it's not given unto you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And our Lord says, that day and that hour knoweth no man. Now, my dear friend, when you learn of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to learn of the certainty of his coming, the uncertainty of the time. The Lord comes as a thief in the night. Verse 2. Now, you say, well, Pastor Rogers, why hasn't Jesus Christ not yet come? I'll tell you why our Lord has not yet come. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is waiting on you, sir, to be saved. He's waiting on you, madam, to be saved. But one of these days, soon and very soon, perhaps, Jesus will come. You see, it is the mercy of God that holds back the second coming of Jesus. But the justice of God and the judgment of God says one day he will come. And even now, the raging waters of God's wrath are furiously pounding against the dam of his mercy. And one of these days, the dam of God's mercy will give way to God's judgment, and the day of the Lord will come. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as one day, the Apostle Peter tells us. You say, well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ went away and promised to come again. Well, then, my dear friend, may I tell you, it's 2,000 years nearer than it used to be. And we are coming, and we are nearer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than any generation has ever been. You can put it down big, put it down plain, put it down straight, that God, our God, is never ahead of time, and he is never late. Jesus Christ came on time, Jesus Christ died on time, Jesus Christ arose on time, and Jesus Christ is coming again on time. It is not given unto you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but my dear friend, our Lord is coming as a thief in the night, and I want you to learn of his coming. Education may be costly, but I'll tell you, ignorance is far more costly. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul said in the prior chapter, chapter 4, there are certain things I would not have you to be ignorant of. Chapter 4, verse 13, concerning the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this pastor. Listen, I want you to learn of the coming of our Lord. It is not incidental in the Word of God. It is fundamental to the Word of God. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And if you want something that will cause this book in the Old Testament prophecies to burst a flame in your heart and in your life, learn the wonderful truths of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second thing this passage tells us that we must do, not only should we learn of his coming, but we should look for his coming. We should look for his coming. That is, he may come at any moment. Look again in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, when Jesus Christ comes, the church will be taken out and taken up to meet her Lord in the air. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them to meet our Lord in the air. That could happen at any moment. And when that happens, then the day of the Lord begins. Now, what is this day of the Lord? Let me tell you, my dear friend, it is a solemn day. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I want you to jot them in your margin, and I'm going to share them with you. These scriptures tell of the great tribulation that is coming on the earth that begins after the rapture of the church. It is called the Day of the Lord. First of all, it is a solemn day. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. And then listen to what Joel says about the day of the Lord. There hath not been ever the like. There hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, what is Joel saying? Joel says, sound the alarm. The day of the Lord will come. And there's never been a day like it. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, said the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Jeremiah said, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is the name for fleshly Jews. The time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The Jews are going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of great tribulation. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, listen to this. The Bible says, for there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Joel said it, Jeremiah said it, Daniel said it, and Jesus Christ said it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Never, 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 never has there been a time like this time. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. You can take all of the horrors this world has ever known and compound them, and you will have just a faint description of what the day of the Lord will be. It is a solemn day. Second thing I want to say about it is a surprising day. Verse 2 says, he is coming as a thief in the night. People will be living with a sense of peace and safety and security. That's the reason I do not believe that the church is going to go through the great tribulation. It is coming, my dear friend, as a thief in the night. The world is going to be caught by surprise. And people are going to be going about the normal round of living when our Lord Jesus Christ comes for his own. And the Lord Jesus illustrated it by Noah. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus, talking about the fact that his coming will be a surprise, he said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now listen to it. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and took them all away. Here they are, eating, drinking, just like you'll do. Go home, sit down for your meal. The day was bright and fair. No thought whatever. Not a storm cloud in the sky. Marrying and giving in marriage, and then suddenly, cataclysmically, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the heavens were emptied, and the flood came and carried them all away. You see, over and over again, the Bible tells us, be ready. Be ready, I'm coming as a thief in the night. I read some time ago about a man who had stepped into a store to buy some things, and he did a very foolish thing. He left his car keys in the ignition. They also left on his car keys, his house keys. When he came back out, his car was gone. He said, how stupid of me. How could I have done that? I was only in there just a moment. And he was muttering to himself about human nature and how terrible things were, that somebody would steal his car, just been in the store for a few moments. Well, of course, he reported it to the police and all of that. But the next morning when he came out, there was his car sitting in the driveway. Not only was it sitting there, it was washed, vacuumed out, and he opened the door, there were the keys, and there was a note there. And it said, "Sir, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I took your car." He said, "I was in a dire emergency. What I did was terribly wrong. I'm very sorry. I needed the use of your car." He said, "I have washed it. Here is a full tank of gasoline. And here are two tickets for the Dallas football game, the Dallas Cowboys, right here. I want you to enjoy the game. And if you can find it in your heart, please forgive me. I'm sorry." Well, the guy was saying, "Well, maybe human nature is not that bad after all. I mean, the guy stole my car, but I mean, maybe it wasn't an emergency." He went in and told his wife. He said, "You won't believe this. There's our car. Well, it's not hurt, not a scratch. Look, we've got tickets. I've always wanted to go to a Dallas Cowboys game." They went to the game, and when they came home, their house had been cleaned out. He also had the house key. As a thief in the night, when you are least expecting, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. My dear friend, this day of the Lord is a solemn day. It is a surprising day, and I'll tell you something else about it. It is a sure day. Notice the last part of verse 3. It says, "Also, it's coming as travail upon a woman with child." Now, what he's saying is this world is pregnant with judgment. As travail, as labor pains upon a woman with child. Just as surely as a birth is going to come, just as surely as that baby is going to come, this judgment is going to come. It is a sure day. Our world is on a collision course with judgment. Years ago, I heard about an admiral who was out leading maneuvers. He had the warships out there. It was at nighttime. And someone there on watch came to the admiral and said, "Admiral, our ship is approaching a light straight on. What do you want us to do?" It was at nighttime. The admiral said, "Send them a message and tell them to alter their course 30 degrees to the right." So they radioed a message ahead and said to that bright light out there that was unidentified, "Alter your course 30 degrees to the right." A message came back and said, "You alter your course 30 degrees to the right." The admiral was a little nonplussed. He said, "Send them back a message and tell them this is a battleship. You alter your course 30 degrees to the right." They sent back a message and said, "You alter your course 30 degrees to the right." Well, the admiral said, "You send them this message. You tell them that I am the admiral. I'm in a battleship. And I said to alter your course 30 degrees to the right." The message came back and said, "I am a seaman first class. I am in a lighthouse. You alter your course 30 degrees to the right." God's lighthouse is not going to move for this generation, folks. I want to tell you that we are on a collision course with disaster. And this day of the Lord, is a solemn day. It is a surprising day when people are going to say peace and safety, but it is a sure day as a woman in travail. Martin Luther said he only had 2 days on his calendar, today and that day. Today and that day. You live today for Jesus Christ and get ready for that day as if that day were to begin this day. Not only should you learn of His coming and know some things perfectly, and not only should you look for His coming because He is coming at any moment as a thief in the night, a surprising day, but dear friend, we need to live for His coming. Begin now in verse 5. "But ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, the Apostle Paul says that we are living in dark times. It is dark. Morally, it is dark. Spiritually, it is dark. Socially, it is dark. Politically, we are living in darkness. And not only is it dark, but the people of this world are asleep. They have been chloroformed by the spirit of this age, and those who are not asleep are in a drunken stupor, as it were, in verse 7. Look at it. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. That's the way the world is. The world is in darkness. Half the people are asleep to the darkness that we're in. The other half are living wild, high, and handsome, drunk in the night. But he goes on to say that we are not in darkness. We are not children of darkness. And therefore, there are three things that we ought to do to live for his coming. First of all, the Christian should be aware. The Christian should be aware. Look in verse 5. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. We're the only ones, dear friend, who can make sense of what is happening. Dear old Dr. Vance Havner, who's now in heaven, used to say, you can take a child of God, give him a Bible and a candle, and put him in a dungeon, and he will know more about what's going on in this world than all the wiseacres in the Congress and the Pentagon put together. Friend, we are not in darkness, that that day should overtake us as a thief. We're not of the night. We're not of the darkness. So number one, in order to live for his coming, you need to be aware and you need to wise up. But number two, because you're aware, you need to be awake. Look in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be aware and wise up. Be awake and get up. Do you know the problem with many churches today? They're not preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. They think it is an odd and a weird doctrine. And so many sermons today are like bedtime stories and lullabies. And God's alarm clock is going off all over this world. And God tells the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, wake up! Many people come to church on Sunday morning, and if you have the eyes to see it, they have a sign hung around their neck that says, please do not disturb. I mean, they just want to sleep and sleep in the night. What is God saying? In verse 5, he is saying, wise up. In verse 6, he is saying, wake up and get up. But not only, my dear friend, do we need to be aware and wise up, and not only do we need to be awake and get up, but dear friend, we need to be alert and dress up. Look, if you will, now in verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, now these are the ones who know it's time to get up. They wake up, they get up. And we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. How, my dear friend, are you to be living in these days in which we live? Well, you are to get up and you are to dress up, and the very first thing you're to put on is the breastplate of faith and love. Faith toward God and love toward God and your fellow man. You wear that to protect your heart. You better keep your heart in these days. You better keep on that breastplate of faith and love. And then, at the same time, you better put on for an helmet the hope of salvation to protect your head. You've got to keep your heart right, and you've got to keep your head right in these days. That's what he's saying. Get out of bed, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and put for an helmet the hope of salvation. Now, what does he mean, the hope of salvation? Does he mean you hope you're saved? You're not sure, but you think you may be saved? Not at all. I have told you this so many times, but learn it one more time. When the Bible uses the word hope, it does not use the word hope like modern Americans use the word hope. like, are we going to win the ball game? Well, I hope so. Oh, my dear friend, the Bible word hope, listen, is a divine certainty based on the Word of God. That's what the word hope means in the Bible, a divine certainty. Like the second coming of Jesus Christ is called the blessed hope. That doesn't mean he might come. It means we can hardly wait for him to get here, and we know he's coming because the Word of God has promised it. Now, you are to put on the hope of salvation, the divine certainty of salvation based on the Word of God. 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Friend, I'm telling you, I would be petrified to be living in these days and not know that I'm saved. Not know that I'm saved. You'd better protect your heart and protect your head. You better have that breastplate, my dear friend, of faith and love and a helmet of the assurance of your salvation based on the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, how do you live for His coming? Well, you wise up, you wake up, and you dress up. Listen, be aware of His coming. Be awake at His coming. Be alert, be sober. That's what He's saying. That's what He's saying. Are you understanding this? Is this getting through? Is God speaking to you today? This is not just some exercise in talking. God is saying to you, get ready. Get ready. Not only should you learn of His coming, not only should you look for His coming because He's coming at any moment, not only should you live for His coming, but, oh, my friend, you need to long for His coming. You need to long for His coming. Now, continue to read in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. With Him. The one who died for me. I long to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I long for that time when my faith shall be sight. I long for that time for Him whom having not seen I love. Now seeing I will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I long for Jesus Christ to come again. You see, this is a truth that comforts. You say, Pastor, are you trying to frighten me? Only if you're lost am I trying to frighten you. If you're saved, I'm trying to comfort you. Look, if you will, in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. There's no more comforting nor edifying truth than the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, again, why it's such a comfort and why we long for His coming is this: that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be taken out before the great tribulation, before the day of the Lord comes. Now, we're going to say more about that as we continue in this series, but right now, because they're right before us, I'm going to give you three reasons why the church is not going to go through the great tribulation. Right here. And that ought to cause you to long for His coming. The very first reason is the word explanation. He gives us an explanation in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, the tribulation is the great day of His wrath. But God has not appointed us to wrath. And go back to the chapter 1, if you will, and look in verse 9. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had among you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is the great tribulation. When Jesus comes, He will deliver us from the wrath to come. That's the reason, as we see the day approaching, we need to long for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's children are recipients of His chastisement. And my dear friend, if you disobey him whom the Father loves, he chastens, and he'll carry you to the woodshed. But that, my dear friend, is not God's wrath. That is God's chastisement for his own. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world after the rapture of the church. And so the reason, number one, is the explanation in verse 9. Number two, the expectation in verse 10. Look at the expectation in verse 10. Who died for us, he's talking about Jesus, who died for us, that whether, what's that next little word, whether what? Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was expecting Jesus Christ to come in his life. You say, was the Apostle Paul wrong? No, he was right. Every Christian should be expecting Jesus Christ to come in his life. There are no signs, no tribulation, nothing else that is going to happen. No temple rebuilt, no antichrist, no covenant, no this, no that. If these things happen, they're just coming events that are casting shadows ahead of time. But I am telling you, my dear friend, you are not waiting for any sign. You're waiting for Jesus to come at any moment. There is an explanation. God has not appointed us to wrath. There is an expectation. We are waiting for Jesus to come as a thief in the night. At any moment, Jesus Christ is coming again. And then last of all, not only is there an explanation and an expectation, but there's an exhortation. An exhortation. Look, if you will, in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. My dear friend, there'd be no comfort if we knew that we're not waiting for Jesus, but we're waiting for the great tribulation. Can you imagine somebody closing the Bible saying, even so, come tribulation? No, you'd say, welcome death. Welcome coffin. Welcome grave. But no, my friend, we're waiting for Jesus to come. And we need to be longing for his coming. I read somewhere about some fishermen who would go out and stay for days on the sea fishing. And then they would come home to the little fishing village, and their wives and children, of course, would be there in the village. One day after they'd been out, the skipper was on the deck, and he had his glass, and he was looking, and he saw the wharf. He saw the little village. He said, there they are. There's Bill's Mary. There's Sam's Elizabeth. There's John's Rachel. There they are. They're waiting. But one of the fishermen didn't hear his wife's name called. And when the ship came to the shore, those wives came and put their arms around those smelly old fishermen and kissed them. But this one fisherman, he just went right on through the crowd and went up the steep there and to where his cottage was, and threw open the door, and there was his wife. Ah, she said, sweetheart, so good to have you home. Said, I have been waiting for you. He said, ah, yes, but you weren't watching for me like the other wives. Friend, you know, I don't want to just be waiting for Jesus. I want to be watching for Jesus. You know, the Bible says there's a special blessing to those who watch for his coming. Who watch for his coming. Oh, my friend, what does this passage tell us that we've just read today? It's so simple, yet so sweet. We should learn of his coming. We should look for his coming. We should live for his coming. We should long for his coming. And all of God's people ought to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me.
Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for you from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.